All right, turn your book, your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 7. Last week, we looked at being strong in the Lord, and we looked at the word that was translated fortress or stronghold, and how that God declared that he was our stronghold or fortress. And that fortress meant, you know, a place that you would be safe, that when the enemy attacked, he couldn't get to you, right? That it was impenetrable and strong. And then we looked at, you know, Ephesians where it said, be strong in the Lord. And that's a really important thing. And in our walk, you know, it's not that we're strong in ourselves, but we're strong in God. We're strong in what he did for us through his son, Jesus Christ. We're strong in the word of God. Today, I want to look at that we have a strong foundation. So we're going to look at chapter 7, and we're going to start in verse 21, Jesus Christ speaking. And of course, here he's speaking to Israel, or Israelites. And it says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, he's speaking to, again, to Israel, right? Mm-hmm. In John chapter 3, he explains to Nicodemus how you can get into the kingdom of heaven. Later on, he says, nobody can see the kingdom of heaven except he be what? Born again or born from above. But here he's talking to these Israelites. And of course, we know what is the will of the Father. The will of the Father is that everybody be saved, everybody be part of the kingdom. But we know that not everybody will believe. If you hold your place here, or just listen, actually, in 1 Corinthians 12, as soon as I get to it, I should have had it marked. Stupid me. Verse 3, it says, wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by Holy Spirit. Okay? And then, of course, in John 3, 1 through 3, Nicodemus came at night and he said, Lord, we know you must be from God because of the miracles you do. And Jesus Christ kind of ignored that and said, you can't see the kingdom of God except you be born again. And then he explains to him about receiving Holy Spirit, right? Verse 22 of Matthew 7, it says, many will say to me, in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So these guys were, you know, trying to butter them up, getting a shot at going to the kingdom of God or go to heaven or wherever. And he kind of put them in their place. Then he goes on, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. It's pretty cool. A rock. This is the word rock, meaning a big rock or a boulder or whatever. When we lived in New Hampshire, I had a job where I would inspect houses for repair work. It was part of a program to rehabilitate old housing, and there's lots of old houses in New Hampshire. Mm-hmm. And I would go in some of the basements. They didn't have a foundation, but rather, you know, it's called the granite state. Mm-hmm. It would have a foundation on three walls, and then one wall would be this granite boulder. Mm-hmm. where they built the house upon it. It was really pretty interesting, you know. The reason that New York has all the tall buildings is because the island of Manhattan is granite. It's got, you know, there's whatever on top, but underneath the bedrock is granite. And they can go down into that granite and they can build tall buildings, where Chicago is not.
Yeah.
And they have problems. So it's pretty cool. I read a thing about it once, how they did it.
Yeah.
And they build these like pyramids, four-sided though. And they come out, and so it displaces the weight, because basically Chicago's on sand. Mm-hmm. Not
there's
bedrock.
Something about that in the word. Right?
Yeah, there is. But they figured out how to displace the weight so they can hold bigger buildings. Anyway, a house or a building is only as strong or as high or as big as the foundation will allow. The deeper the foundation goes, or the stronger it is, the bigger and the taller the structure can be. Like, for instance, the Empire State Building has, like, the foundation goes down 7 stories. You know, it goes really deep. So the bigger and the taller the building, the stronger and deeper the foundation has to be. The strength and magnitude of your spiritual life depends on the strength and depth of your spiritual foundation. That makes sense, doesn't it? So let's get back to this. So Jesus Christ said, you know, I will liken him to a wise man which built his house upon a rock. If he does the sayings of Jesus Christ, which is what? The word of God, right? If he listens to and obeys and does the word of God, it will be like a man who built his house upon a rock, a foundation, a strong foundation. The rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Mm-hmm. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat upon that house and it fell, and great was the fall of it. When we lived in Northern Jersey, there was a section where they had a flood and these people had houses and they got wiped out. And the stupid government, you know, they have flood insurance. And the government will allow them to rebuild in the same place. And these people have been wiped out 2 and 3 times. Foolish, right? Stupid. But that's what people do. So verse 28, it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Well, what he taught was pretty logical, right? Made sense. Let's go to chapter 16. You all know this, but we're going to read it again anyway. Chapter 16, verse 13. When Jesus came unto the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, the son, John the Baptist. Some Elias, which is what, Elijah? Others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Well, those guys are all dead. Why would they say that? Because of, you know, they kind of were messing with reincarnation. Mm-hmm. And it pervaded their culture. And, you know, the Pharisees and all that stuff. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. How great is that? The Christ, the anointed, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He's, you know, he didn't figure it out by sense knowledge, did he? But God showed him. He had spirit upon him, at least temporarily. And God showed him that Jesus Christ was the Christ, the Son of God. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. Peter is the word what? Petros, which means a small rock or a pebble. And upon this rock, and that's the word Petra, which was the word rock in previous verses we looked at, when the man built his house upon a rock. It's a boulder or a bedrock or a big rock, solid. And he said, upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth, they shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth, they shall be loosed in heaven, and so on. You know, it seems ridiculous that people would think the church was built upon Peter, because Peter was, you know, a nice guy. He was a great apostle, but he had failings, right?
Wishy-washy.
Yeah, he was a little wishy-washy at times. Even after the day of Pentecost, he had a little difficulty. Paul confronted him. Paul had difficulties, right? But it says that Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of God, and it also says he's the head of the body.
Yeah.
Right, so it's pretty simple and straightforward that Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's the one that it's built upon, without a doubt. He is the rock. Let's go to Psalm 31. Psalm 31. Verse 2. Verse 1 is pretty cool. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me and deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. And it goes right along with what we read last week about how about God was our fortress, our stronghold. Here the psalmist says, you know, be my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. You know, in other words, God's a defense for us. When we build our lives upon God, upon his word, upon Jesus Christ, we have a strong foundation. The stronger we are in that trusting of God, in knowing the word and putting it into our brains and looking to Jesus Christ as our Savior, as the one who's our example of believing God, we're going to be stronger. We're going to have a strong foundation. The less we put the word in our brains, the less we trust God, the weaker we're going to be. Let's go to 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. There's so many great examples of this, but my wife and I can't remember when it was. I don't remember if we lived here or New Hampshire, where, but we had a tough week or something, and we decided to go to the movies to take a break. And we went to see The Money Pit. I don't know if you've ever seen it. With Tom Hanks. And he and his wife, what was the girl's name? She was on Cheers.
Cheers.
Yeah, the Cheers girl. No, not no, the no, one no, before. No,
Shelley.
Shelley Long. Yeah, they're married and they're having difficulties. And they live in New York City, so they decide to buy a house in the suburbs. And they buy this big house, and they go in, and the house is falling apart. And they turn on the faucet, and flames come out because the plumbing screwed up, and the stairs are falling down, and all kinds of stuff. So then they start doing the renovations, and you know, and go through this, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. And then at the end of the movie, they're with this guy, the contractor, and he says, "Well, if you have a good foundation, you can fix anything." You know, and that was the moral of the movie, I guess. But I guess they had a strong foundation, supposedly, in their marriage, because they fixed that. Anyway, but it's true. When you have a strong foundation, you can build upon it. You can fix things. You can deal with things. You can, you have resilience. And Peter 1, verse 7. I think it's actually 2 Peter. We'll see.
1:7 was pretty good.
Did it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Never mind. That the trial of your faith, chapter one of Peter, 1 Peter, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. That's great. That's not what I wanted, though, because there's one verse that talks about the stone, the rock.
Chapter 2. Yeah, that's
yes, chapter 2. Sorry. Chapter 1, verse 7 is great. Chapter 2, verse 7. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. Stone here is the word lithos. It's not Petros or Petra. It's just a stone. Not me, as in contrast to wood or flesh or something else. And here it says that Jesus Christ is a stone who was disallowed of the builders, meaning, you know, the religious guys, but he's the head of the corner, the cornerstone of the foundation. You know, in the old days, it was really important to have the cornerstone. Right? And if you look at old buildings, a lot of times the cornerstone is where they put the date.
Yeah.
And before they had computers and all the fancy stuff they had, the cornerstone would be the thing that they built the building on. So it had to be exact, and the corner had to be perfect, and then everything built off of that. And if it was wrong, then the whole building would be askew, right? It would be off balance. It says here that Jesus Christ is the head of the corner. He's the cornerstone. And it says in verse 8, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And the rock of offense is the word Petra. You know, a boulder, a rock. And it's a rock of offense, and they stumbled because they didn't believe, right? They didn't believe in him. They stumbled. They fell because they thought, oh, this guy's a phony. What did they do every time he spoke? Every time he did a miracle? Every time he did anything, right? Mm-hmm. They doubted. They questioned. They said, well, you know, he's of the devil, or he's this, or he's that. And that's what they did. He was a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Yeah. So you got to see the connection, right? It said in the Old Testament that God is our rock. He's our fortress. And then it talks about making the connection with the Word. His Word is part of our foundation. And Jesus Christ, who is the Word in the flesh, who came, and he was the fulfillment of God's Word and God's promises to us. Let's go to Romans chapter 9. Romans chapter 9, verse 33. Well, let's start in verse 31. It says, but Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. You know, they received the word of righteousness. God gave them the word of righteousness. But they didn't do it. They didn't believe it. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, by believing, but as it were by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone. That stumbling stone was the Messiah, right? Why was Abraham considered righteous? Because he believed. He believed in the promise that God made that the Messiah would come from his bloodline. But Israel did not. You know, they stumbled at it. They didn't believe. They were willing to do the works, but they did it without believing. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion. You know, Zion's that place in Jerusalem, the high point. And lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. You know, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, you're stumbling. If you believe in Jesus Christ, you're not going to be ashamed. It's pretty great. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not have, not that you should be ignorant. God doesn't want us to be stupid. And in this case, he was speaking to Israel, or he was speaking to these believers. He said, I don't want you to be ignorant how that, these are believers that were from Israel, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Remember in Exodus, they were led by the cloud by day and fire by night. Mm-hmm. And God led them through the Red Sea. Mm-hmm. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. And did all eat the same spiritual meat, which was manna. Right? Which means, what is it? It's great. Sometimes at restaurants you go, what is that? And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. And again, the word Christ is Petra, that solid rock. Remember when Moses, God told him to touch the rock and the water would come out, and he slammed the rock. And that's why he didn't get to go in the promised land, right? Because he doubted at that point in time. It was a sad state of affairs. Let's go back to chapter 3. And verse 10, according to the grace of God, chapter 3, verse 10, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, The word master builder is architect. That's what it means. It's architechnon, I think. I have laid the foundation. And that's foundation. That's what it means. And another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is what?
Jesus Christ.
You know, Paul did what? When he laid the foundation, what did he do? He taught the word. He wrote the epistles. He taught the basics of the mystery and the greatness of what God had done for us through his son, Jesus Christ. So no other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's what Paul taught about, right? Taught about the greatness of Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest or made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. You know, and this is what it's an analogy. I mean, what kind of work do we build upon our foundation, you know, in our lives? But he's making the analogy of, you know, precious things like gold and silver, precious stones, woods, hay, and stubble. What's more valuable? What lasts longer? You know, if you cook gold and silver and precious stones, they survive. But if you do it to wood, hay, and stubble, what do? They burn up. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. What's it talking about? Well, this is written to born-again believers, right? And not everything we do is going to get us a reward. But the things that will last, according to God's word, will. And the things that won't last, well, they'll be discarded, right? They'll be burned up, but we won't, because we're born again. That's what it's talking about. But it's all built upon Jesus Christ and the word of God, right? Now let's go to Ephesians. Woo-hoo. You know, we're strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And then it talks about how we are to put on the whole armor of God. And part of that is what? And we put on the gospel of truth and the word of truth and the gospel of salvation. It's all about putting on the word and the word of God concerning what? Jesus Christ. That's how we build our strength. That's how we build our life upon the foundation, and that foundation is Jesus Christ. Verse 19 of chapter 2, it says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." That's what we're built upon. "In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." How great is that?
Amen.
You know, we're part of the temple of God together. And the more we build upon that foundation, the greater our lives will be. The stronger our lives will be, the more we'll see God work in our lives. He is our fortress. He's our strength. Jesus Christ is our foundation, and the Word of God has all the answers for all of us. And when our life revolves around all that, then we do great things. And when it doesn't, then we struggle. So when you're struggling, what's man's basic spiritual problem? Integrity of the Word, right? So simple. You know, the Word of God is so simple. And we just have to keep it that way.